with me, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, which is what we did just a few moments ago, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. If that's your prayer, church, say that with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray that you'd speak in power and authority. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing the sermon series that we've been going on for a few weeks here, Jesus, the Miracle Man. And speaking, I was actually doing a little more kind of research into a global sense of the miracles that are recorded. And did you know that there's 37 different miracles recorded in the 4 Gospels? Now, at the end of the book of John, if you'll look at that, John, who we just read out of chapter 6 of John, this is John the Apostle who walked and lived with Jesus and saw him perform these miracles. At the end of his letter, he said, "If I were to write down all the things Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough books in the world." So we know that this 37 is just a sampling of what Jesus did. But today, we're going to look at God as our provider. That word provider, we just sang about God's faithfulness and how he provides for us, and that there's nothing that we need that God cannot provide for. In God's word, one of the names of God, one of the ways that the Jews referred to God was Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. Now, Billy talked about our Granbury trip this past Monday and Tuesday. I want to talk a little bit more about that for just a second. As Billy said, we met Steve, who was kind of coordinating the project out there. And Steve, I tell you, we weren't there on site, 5 minutes when we were praying for Steve? Were we there that long? I mean, we walked into the house, and I was kind of outside for just a minute, and I didn't hear the first of it. But obviously, Billy and the rest of the group saw very quickly that this guy was a mess. I mean, he was overwhelmed. He's unemployed. He's got a lot of things in his past, and he was just overwhelmed. And we're circling up the project manager, mind you. We're circling up around the project manager 5 minutes into our trip, laying hands on him, praying for him. God was at work. He met us in Granbury, Texas. And what a blessing it was. Then we got to meet later. You'll hear more about the actual work later. But anyway, we spent Monday working really hard, and Tuesday, and we had a good group. And there was a church in Acton United Methodist Church that had a really nice facility and allowed us to come. And there was 5 of us that stayed the night there and allowed us to shower and get cleaned up and had really nice accommodations for us to sleep. And beds were a bit hard, but I wasn't complaining. It wasn't a floor. And but it was really neat. Well, there was four of us guys and one lady that stayed the night, and we're all showering and cleaning up. We'd be out working in the heat, and we were there, and I'm in the shower, and I'm hearing this voice up on the other side of the curtain, and it was Jordan Payne. It was Jordan Payne. Raise your hand, Jordan, in case people don't know you. Smelly J, for those of you who don't know. Jordan was on the other side of the curtain, and here's what I heard. I forgot my underwear. And I'm being real quiet. And I just want to use this example to tell you that the Lord works in mysterious ways. And He provides, sometimes He uses us. Now, Billy and I were being real quiet. And then I heard Jody McGoy say, "Well, you can use a pair of mine." I debated whether to tell that story, but I couldn't help myself. So, I don't even want to know, did you burn them afterwards? Well, I mean, did you burn them afterwards, I guess, is more appropriate. I don't know. Well, in fairness to Billy and I, we were willing to share the ones we had worn that day, but he didn't want those. So, anyway, the Lord provides, and sometimes He uses us. Sometimes He uses us. All right, we're gonna talk about four different, what I'm calling players, people, characters in this story today, and I think we can learn from each one of these that we look at. And the first one is the crowd. The crowd. God, I want you to hear this, church. God cares about your needs. God cares about your needs. And you know, as we were sharing earlier today, you know, we've got people in here right here in our room who've had heart attacks and have cancer and undergoing all sorts of, you know, pretty major things in their life, have loved ones in hospice and just a lot going on, major things. But did you know that God even cares about what we would maybe call our smaller needs? You don't have to have cancer for God to get God's attention. For God to be engaged in your life. This crowd, Jesus was just concerned, where are they going to eat? I mean, just a meal. You know, I don't imagine anyone that's sitting on the hillside watching and listening to Jesus teach was going to die before they got home and had a meal, even if it was the next day. But Jesus saw this big crowd and He's like, where are all these people going to eat supper? God is concerned about the smallest detail of our lives. Did you know that? Students, He's concerned about that test that's coming up that you're concerned about. If you're concerned about it, He's concerned about it. The crowd. God cares about our needs. And you've read the scripture. A great crowd of people followed Jesus because they had seen the miraculous signs He had performed on the sick. So they had seen that this Jesus was, that they maybe could get something from Him. They were curious. And so Jesus looked up. He saw the great crowd. And it doesn't say it there, but we've seen it in the other miracles that we looked at. He had compassion on them. He had compassion on them, and He began to ask the question, where shall we buy bread? I want us to just, if you're newer to our church, some of this will be maybe foreign to you, but for those of you who've been here for a while, you've walked through some of this. God, did you know that God has been faithful to Wiley United Methodist Church? I mean, as y'all were standing up this morning and praising God, the Spirit of God was just overwhelming me with thankfulness for y'all. As I saw the faces and the stories, and I know all the stories behind those short little testimonies this morning, I just thanked God for each of you. God has been faithful to us as a church. We, in November, this church, not this building, but this church body called Wiley United Methodist Church, will be 109 years old in November. It started with, down the road, you can read this history, and I'm not going to get all into it, but we started as a little one-room shack in 1904. sharing a little one-room building with the Wiley school system. That was their school, and on Sunday it was the church. That's how this body of believers started. We will be 109 years old. If you're interested in knowing what happened and all that, I can tell you, but I'm just telling you that in 2002 our church split. Again, I can give you the details about that, but it was a time of faith for those of you who walked through that. It was a time of faith for us, and our leadership was gutted. I mean, it wasn't an angry split, you know, like everybody was mad at each other or anything like that. It was just, but it still, it decimated our church. I mean, Pat, is Pat in here? Pat and I, we were the staff, weren't we? By golly, we for sure, Lynn, we wasn't much then, but Pat held the ship together. All our Sunday school teachers, I think, but maybe two adult Sunday school teachers were left, and all of our children's workers were all gone. Our sound team was gone. Our praise team was all gone. And God stood faithful with us. And us being here today and not being, I tell you, I remember the very first sermon that I preached, and here was the two things I felt the Lord was telling me to say was, do not allow that church to become bitter. And keep your eyes on me. And I believe we have done that. And I believe God has blessed that. I believe God has blessed that. He continues to care and grow our church. And you, the loving congregation that He has provided and the loving and supportive. And I just speak on a personal matter from Cheryl and I. We have always felt the love of Christ from this body. He's given us, you, and myself as well, a dedicated and gifted staff. I don't know if you know it, and I've taken myself out of this statement. You have a dedicated and loving and gifted staff, church. I hope you know that. God has provided that. God is concerned about every need, every need. Second thing, I want us to look at is the boy. Really, the boy sometimes slips under the radar on this story. But the boy is significant in this story. The boy. God uses the willing. Now, I want to paint this picture for you. The boy had five loaves of bread and two fish. Guess what that was? His lunch. Now, he might not have been eating all five of those loaves of bread, but that was his food. And the disciples, did you hear anywhere where the disciples came and had to negotiate the meal out of his hands? You know, first, I think it's really odd that, or very telling, that first of all, the disciples would even mention it. I mean, you got this crowd of 5,000. Now, by the way, that's 5,000 men. That's the way they counted their crowds, was 5,000 men. That didn't include women and children. So the crowd could have been in excess of 10,000. So Jesus and the disciples, they see this big crowd, and they're covering this mountainside, and one of the disciples has the faith to even go, well, we got these five loaves and these two fish. You know, I think I would have just, I mean, my, you know, being the huge man of faith I am, I would have just kept quiet. No, everybody's going to, you know, we're going to start knocking this little kid in the head for his lunch. But one of the disciples had the faith to even mention it. And the boy was willing. You know, I could just see the boy saying, this is all I've got, but you're welcome to it. Do you hear him saying that? This is all I've got. It's not much, and it's certainly not going to do all of this, but you can have it. But in the hands of Jesus, it fed the multitude. What do you have? What's your lunch look like? Is that one of your excuses? It's like, well, I can't do all of that. I mean, when we go to Granbury, I've got to be honest with you. I look at the devastation in that neighborhood, and I see us with our nine rolling in, and I'm thinking, yeah, we'll be through about 2020. We can't do it all, But by golly, we can hang some sheetrock in that person's home. We can do that. And in the hands of God, I really don't even think we were down there to hang sheetrock. I think we were down there to bless people. God uses the willing. So I guess I want you to ask yourself the question, are you willing? You got a lunch? A small lunch? My son-in-law, you got a lunch? Sorry, Chance, I couldn't help myself. Third thing, the disciples. God allows, and he blesses us with the opportunity. He doesn't just allow, he blesses us with the opportunity to participate. To participate in what he wants to do. You know, can you imagine just the disciples? I mean, you know, Jesus is kind of directing them. You know, the boy willingly gives what he has, and Jesus is telling the disciples, have them sit down. Let me pray a prayer of blessing. Now pass this out. And then when they were through, now gather up what's left. Can you imagine the joy and the amazement of the disciples to see what 5 loaves and 2 fish could do in the hands of Jesus? Wouldn't you like to just been there? I would love to have been there. Did you know that God allows us to participate, and God has made provision through this church? Now, I'm going to go through some things, and please don't take this, especially if you're new to our church, please don't take this as boasting, because I don't want us to be that kind of church. I don't think we are that kind of church, but I want to remind us that God can do miraculous things through our hands. That's what this is, a reminder. This is not boasting. I want to remember Granny's house. I've got some pictures here. I'm not going to have time to go. Each one of these has a major story behind them. But about a year or so after I became pastor, that was around 2003 or 4, we met little Granny. Go ahead and I think the next one. That's Granny. And we went to remodel a bathroom floor, and a long story, but we ended up building Granny a house. And I'll tell you, I don't think there's been anything giving me more joy than to present the keys to Granny of her house and to watch her cut that ribbon that the ladies had put across the door. And Granny was in her 90s, early 90s, and she lived in that home 3 years, and she passed away. And now it's being used for a woman named Joanne that's come to our church some, and Joanne was living, literally, she's in her 50s, Lori, and she was living in a tent in the woods in Abilene, Texas. And now she has a roof over her head and an air conditioner in the window. And that gift continues to give. Then there was Lake Stanford. Lake Stanford flooded, I think that was around 06 or so. That's Bob and Kathy Sanders. And Bob, they had just bought this house and was in the process of remodeling it. And Bob got cancer and had just had, he's only, I think, a few weeks, maybe a month or so out of surgery at this, when this picture was taken. And their home flooded. And I'm telling you, the ceilings up here, that's where water was in their home. And we came flooding in there that first morning, and I think we had 2 or 3 vans and people and all kinds of vehicles and trailers and stuff, and we just came piling out of those things like ants. And we had just circled up to have a prayer of what we were getting ready to do, and we totally gutted and redid that house. Many of you were a part of that, and I want to read a piece of this letter that she wrote us when we finished, if I can get through it. Dear Wiley Methodist Church, a big hearty thank you to your church for giving unselfishly of your time, materials, muscle power, effort, perspiration, and just plain hard work to the task of repairing our home. When Bobby's cancer surgery and the flood at Lake Stanford happened all at one time, we didn't know what we were going to do or when we might be able to begin rebuilding, but we trusted God. God is faithful. God provides. He answered our prayers when you adopted our house. Thank you for adopting us and putting wings on our prayers. When we saw you coming, we were so encouraged and inspired with your teamwork. It was It was fun to see. It was great to see the fun that you had while your hands were busy at work, and what a beautiful job you have done. Well done. We appreciate you. Thanks a million. Thanks is not enough to say it. May God bless you and all the work you have done in Jesus' name. God provides, and sometimes he gives us the blessing to participate. And many that couldn't, we had Jesse, I know, Jesse was, you were in your 80s out there. I've got pictures of Jesse hanging sheetrock at Lake Stanford. I mean, you know, come on. How many excuses do we come up with? And we got people in their 80s out there hanging sheetrock. And I remember on Granny's house, I got dozens of pictures of people in their late 70s raising walls and all kinds of stuff, bringing the ones that couldn't work were bringing lunches for the workers. And then St. John's Baptist Church. This is, for those of you who don't really know, this is a mostly black church in a very poor northeast part of town. We have grown great friendships and relationships with the pastors and some of the families over there. And we have come alongside St. John's Baptist Church. You know, there's nothing that's similar about us except Christ. They're small, we're not. They're poor, we're not poor. We're not, you know, overflowing, but we're not poor. They're mostly black, we're not. They live in the north side, we live in the south, on the south side, or our churches are on the south side. And only Christ unites us. Only Christ unites us. We've rebuilt three houses that are owned by the church that are now being used for ministry. We come alongside them financially. We've adopted their neighborhood. We've done the Turkey Tuesday for the last several years. As some of our children, we pass turkeys out to their whole neighborhood. It's usually about 150 or so turkeys that we just walk up and down the streets and go, here's a turkey. And, I mean, those folks, you know, I didn't know they had so many cousins. I mean, they're coming from all over. This is my cousin, you know, and they want a turkey too. And our legend has grown. We've had picnics out there where our kids play together on the bounce houses, and we cook burgers and sit under shade trees and drink Cokes and just unite our hearts together. St. John's Baptist Church at Carver Neighborhood. You look in your bulletin today, if you open it up on the inside page, where we've got our staff listed there with a cross and flame, and then right below that are all the things that we as a church body participate in financially, as well as sweat. You can go down through. That's monthly. Those are monthly things. Church, you're reaching out. You're reaching out. God is giving provision through you. And my encouragement to us today is don't stop. In fact, let's press in. Couple of other things we I'm not even touching on all we do, but a lot of the things you saw there on that in the bulletin show of things like Love and Care Ministry and Salvation Army and so forth, Prison Ministry, Angel Tree. We remodeled the Rodriguez's home, some stuff, a family that we found out about had a need. We provided Russell a home through a gift from somebody in the church, but then a lot of our people remodeled that, and then Granbury. And I wanted to show you Alfonso. That's the group minus Mike Junquist. He was there the first day and missed the second. That's our group that was there. And then the next one is Alfonso. Go ahead and flip over one more. That's Alfonso. That's the homeowner. And Alfonso came over. He couldn't speak much English, but he came over, and you could see the impact that it had, just him walking through the home and seeing what we were doing and seeing the progress that we were making. His family, I think he had, what, three kids? Three kids, wife and three kids, and they've been misplaced from that awful tornado. We are being the body of Christ through Wiley United Methodist Church, but God is calling us to press in. He's calling us to press in. Did you know the church is out there? It's not in here. Did you know that? I mean, we come here to refuel and to be inspired and to gather our energies to go out. The church is out there. And the fourth thing I want us to remember, fourth character in this story, is Jesus. Because I want to tell you something. Without Jesus in the center, we're just a resounding gong, clanging cymbal. That's what God's Word tells us. That because like when we went to Granbury this week, we took Jesus with us. We weren't there to hang sheetrock, even though we hung some sheetrock. We weren't there as a construction crew. We were there as the hands and feet of Jesus. And it started the minute we walked in the door, and it didn't stop until we pulled away. We have to take Jesus with us. God is our provider. Through God, He can meet every need. Not some needs, not most needs, but every need can be met through Christ. And I love this story. They started with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when they fed and had done what Jesus had blessed them to do, they gathered the pieces that were left over, and 12 baskets were left over. Do you see the abundance of Jesus? I mean, man, when we start being the body of Christ, when we really start being a body of Christ, it's like this multiplier. People can see the love of Christ, and it is attractive. It is attractive, and the abundance of that is overwhelming. I want to close with this. I want to close with what Jesus has, the provision He has done for me personally. Again, I'm sorry. I'm just kind of a personal message for me today. But it starts with a mom and dad that loved me and raised me right. And I'm sorry. The results, you know, you can be the judge. But they raised me right. It wasn't their fault. And they taught me that Jesus loved me, and they taught me that we're to love others. And I really, you know, you've heard, if you've been here long, you've heard this story, but I spent 30 years going to church all the time, being in leadership of church. I wasn't a pastor in my early career, but I didn't get it. I didn't understand Jesus loved me and that Jesus had died for me and shed His blood for me, hung on a cross for me. I didn't get that until I was 30 years old. But when I got it, it was life-changing, and it was overwhelming. And so He has provided salvation, eternal life for me. And about 13 years ago or so, Cheryl and I prayed through making a transition to ministry out of the business world. And, I mean, I'm telling you, those were some pretty lonely, scary days, not knowing what was the future held, just knowing that we knew God was calling and we trusted Him. And He proved Himself over and over and over again faithful as our provider. And I've said this to you before, but you guys are the fruit of His faithfulness to us personally. And then most of you know, I lost my brother Jay in a tragic explosion in September of 2000. And, you know, trials are no fun to go through. I know many of you can write a book. But God is faithful. Even through trials, even through tragedies, God is faithful. He is our provider. And then in September of this last year, 12, lost my dad. And once again, God is faithful. God is faithful. And I know I will see my brother and my dad again because they knew Christ. God is our provider. So church, where do you fit in this story? Where do you fit in this story? Are you a member of the crowd? And that's okay. People, a lot of times when we're pouring out into people there, sometimes they respond, they feel guilty, or feel ashamed that they're having to be helped. And I always tell them there's a season to receive and there's a season to give. And maybe right now is your season to receive. The problem is when we think it's always our season to receive. That's a problem. But there is a season to receive, and there's a season to give. So you are in the crowd right now and have that need. Are you the boy with a lunch? There's no way this lunch can feed all those people. But in the hands of Jesus, He can do miraculous things with your lunch. Are you a disciple that has a relationship with Jesus and you're ready to serve? Just tell me what to do. Is that you? Just tell me what to do, Lord. Wherever you are in the story, God is our provider. I want to invite, as I close this in prayer, I want to invite the praise team to come on up. I want with all my heart, that's why I'm in ministry, with all my heart, I want every Sunday, every person in here, I want you to know Jesus. I know maybe you think I just, you know, preachers, all they want is your money, and they want to, you know, a crowd to look good. You know what I want? I want you to know Jesus. That's what I want. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to understand that He is your provider in all circumstances. So if you need to know Jesus, I invite you to come forward as we close today, to come forward to the altar, come forward and tell me. There's some cards in front of you that has a little decision sheet that you can jot your name down and what you're wanting to do. And we also have the altar rail open. Let me pray for us. Lord, we are just blown away by Your provision. We're blown away by Your faithfulness. And You, what You really provided was on the cross. Father, don't let anybody leave this place this morning without knowing You. Holy Spirit, move. Just overwhelm us. So it's not about church. It's not about religion or doing this or doing that and doing it right, doing it wrong. It's about You. Just overwhelm us. Come, Holy Spirit, and just move. Show us how You'd have us respond this morning. We thank You so much for Your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. If you stand, if you're able to, as we close, the altar is open, and I'll be up front.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas roar at the sound.
God uses the willing. Are you willing? Go and tell someone. Be blessed. We are dismissed.